who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And the title of today's, or this evening's message, is going to be When Success Becomes a Failure. When success becomes a failure. This text provides a great illustration for us all to see that being successful in life is really not the whole of life. Even though we can be successful in life, we still can become a failure. Most of us worship at the feet of success. The worst thing that can happen to us, we think to ourselves, is that we have failed or we missed the mark. So this man, the man that we read about in this parable, was considered a success. I mean, you would consider him a success by the world's standard. He had a great harvest. He had a great system by which his business was a success. His bank account was large. Most people in the community would probably admire this man. The banks would want to service his accounts because his business was so lucrative. He would have probably been elected to serve on the board of directors because of his business expertise. Parents would tell their children to follow this man's example and how to be successful in life and to have a successful business. The world would call this man a complete success, but God called him a fool. Why? Why did God call this man a fool? You know, one of the first tendencies that we say to ourselves, well, maybe Jesus had it wrong. Maybe Jesus made a mistake, or God made a mistake here. This man is one of the finest citizens in the world. But if we take a closer look at this man's life, we will see why God called him a fool. And three things we look at this evening quickly. First, you look at his commendation. Then you look, too, at his conversation. And three, his condemnation. So first of all, let's look at his commendation. Some things that are good about this man. Notice in verse 16, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. The first thing that we learn about this individual is that this was a man who was wealthy. He was a man who was rich. And you know, sometimes as Christians, we feel guilty when we accumulate wealth. When we think to ourselves that some kind of way we're doing something wrong. But the Bible does not say that having wealth or obtaining wealth is wicked or wrong. But the Bible does give us a warning about it. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. So that is, if you are blessed and fortunate enough in this life to obtain wealth and riches, don't let that change who you are.
Amen.
Don't become high-minded. Don't think that you are better than somebody else because they don't have what you have. And that's one of the first things that happens to most people when they accumulate wealth, is that they begin now to look down on other people. So Paul is saying, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. So don't become lifted up and puffed up with pride because you have something. It may be the case that God is blessing you with something, not so that you can use it for yourself, but so that you can help somebody else.
Amen.
He says, don't be high-minded. And he says, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. So the idea of becoming wealthy, nothing wrong with it. But just make sure that if you have the opportunity to become wealthy, keep the right attitude. Keep a humble spirit about yourself. Because God does not like those that are proud. In fact, when you read the Bible, there are many men that we read about who were wealthy. Abraham was a wealthy man. Solomon, Isaac, Jacob. All of these individuals were wealthy individuals, but one thing that we learn about them, not only were they wealthy, but they also were spiritual people. And so we always have to keep a balance between our material wealth, material possession, and our spiritual balance. So the first thing we see about this man is that he was a wealthy man. And second, we see that he made his money honestly. We have no indication in the text that this man did anything illegal to obtain his wealth. And to obtain wealth is something that most of us desire, but how we do it is important to God. You see, sometimes we get caught up in what we do. And it's important to make sure that we do the right thing. But also, just as important as to what we do, it is how we do it. See, you can do something, but if you do it with the wrong motive, if you do it the wrong way, then it still is no good. When we contemplate what we do, the how is just as important. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, and as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purpose." Notice what Solomon says. He says, "My son, walk not thou in the way of them, and refrain thy foot from their path." You see, it's not always about what you do. It's about how you do it. And so the end don't always justify the means. You can't do something wicked and say, "I'm doing it for a good cause," and then it'd be all right. Now, you heard the expression people say all the time, you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. So it's important to understand that how you do things. So that's the commendation of this man. He was wealthy and he did things the right way. But notice the conversation that he had with himself. Listen to how this man talks to himself. You look at verses 17 and 18. Notice what he says to himself. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." Verses 17 and 18 reveal to us that this man had a covetous heart. You see, here is a man who is successful, but he's not thinking about how he can use those things that he has obtained to help somebody else. He's looking at what he can do for himself. And so that's not what we want to do. Wanting more. The Bible says here that he thought within himself, "Well, I have so much, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit." You see, the whole idea of the human being desiring more, the thing about desire and when it comes to physical things is that it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. As soon as you get some, then you're going to want some more.
Amen.
And then as soon as you get some more, you're going to want some more. And the Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 25 and 23 and verse 5, Solomon said, "Without set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves winged, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." The whole idea is that you would never be fulfilled with riches. It just comes and goes. And as soon as you get your hands on some, you're going to want some more. But that's the way it is when you focus on covetous things. The desire to have these things will never be fulfilled. And so though we may obtain certain material things in life, and those things may make us happy to some extent, those things are not the essence of happiness. But 17 and 18 reveals his covetous heart. Notice verse 19 reveals that he had a trust in things. And he said in verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years." You see? And he says, "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This man tells himself, I have it all laid out. I got it laid up for many years. I have everything in order. He has his retirement already set. In essence,
His plan, his retirement plan is already laid out. His finances are in order. And he says, I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to sit back and enjoy it, ride into the sunset. You see, this man said to himself what he was going to do in the future. And most of us know how that works. A lot of times you tell yourself, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, but it never works out that way. Especially when it comes to life. The Bible tells us that life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But what we should say is that we should do this and we should do that, and we should do it by the will of the Lord. The Bible tells us that. So we make these plans, and most of us in here, I don't know, maybe a few people in here have already got it laid out. But most of us in here are still trying to accumulate that nest egg, so we can, because we think in our minds that, okay, so I'm going to get a certain amount of money, and when I get this amount, then I'm going to ride off into the sunset and everything's going to be set. That's what we're thinking. The younger people in here, this is what we're working for. We're working toward this day where we can retire. But notice this man. This man has all of these plans, and he even says, I will say to my soul. You see, he recognizes that he has something important, but he doesn't understand how important it is. He says, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up. But Jesus said in verse 15 in the same passage, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possessed. Life is not about accumulation of things. It's not about that. And things can be anything. It can be houses, it can be cars, it can be money, it can be education, it can be furniture, it can be whatever you want it to be. But life is not about that. And here's a man who his entire life is centered around the things that he had. And he has a trust in these things. He says, these things are going to put me on the path. And all I have to do now is just enjoy myself. But notice, also this man does not have any concept for eternity. He's thinking about time. In verse 19, he says, then I will say to myself, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Well, you may be right. You have enough stuff set for your life during this time while you're on earth. But what about the afterlife?
Amen.
See, this man is not thinking about what's going to happen after those years have ended. This man is concerned with time and not eternity. Now, finally, as we end here, let's look at the condemnation of the man in verse 20 and 21. In verse 20, the Bible says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this man, thy soul shall be required. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? After this man finished talking to himself and going over in his mind about what he was going to do, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, then God had something to say about his life. And what God said about him is that he was a fool.
Amen.
And God said that he was a fool, not because of his business savvy. He wasn't not a fool because of his success in life. This man was called a fool because he did not involve God in his plan. That's why he was called a fool. All of these things that this man has accumulated, with one stroke, God wipes it all away and reveals what's most important in life. He says, your soul is going to be required of you. He says, this night. And so the most important things in life are not things that are physical. The most important things in life cannot be measured in a laboratory. They cannot be weighed with a scale. Love, joy, peace, happiness, forgiveness, your soul. Those are the things that are most important, and those are things that are not physical. Those are the things that are spiritual. Those are the things that are most important. And finally, when you look at conclusion in verse 21, the Bible says, and so is he. And so what Jesus is saying here is that Any one of us today can be a fool. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Ultimately, there will come a time in all of our lives where we will have to stand before God and give an account for the things that we have done. And we're going to be held accountable for those things, whether those things are good and whether those things are bad. So we must keep in mind that God needs to be involved in our plans. And you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, I was thinking about the whole idea of God being involved in your plans. And normally I always think about, you know, physical things. I'm going to do this later on this evening. And so is God in my plan. I'm going to do this tomorrow. So is God in my plans. But think about this. How about we involve God in our plans to do everything? What about the words that we speak to one another? Is God involved in those plans? What about the things that we do to and for other people? Are God, or is God involved in those plans? And so it just comes to my mind and it weighs heavy on my mind. And I think about how I interact with people and how I talk to people. When I say what I say to another person, is God in those words? God has to be in the plan.
Amen.
Make him a part of all of your plan. And you'll be wise. And not like this individual. God called this man a fool. But it wasn't because of physical things. It was because of his spirituality. So always keep God first. And no matter what situation it is, that there's always a chance to change. There's always a chance to do better. But you can't do that without God. God is the way. He is the way that we can make changes in our lives, and specifically through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ tells us that we must become a part of his body. And in order to do that, we must obey the gospel, which involves faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. If you do those things, you'll be added to the body of Christ. And Jesus says, all things will become new, not physical, but spiritual. If there's anyone who needs to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.
Restore.